Okay, Erev Tov, Rabotai. So, actually, I think this is our last meeting before Sofa Zman, Sofa Semester, whatever you want to call it. Sofa Chatzi Zman, thank you. Yeah, halftime. Yeah, anyway, Bekitzur. So, I want to leave you off with something interesting. So, there's no way we're finishing all of Dikduk tonight. Not happening. I'm just being very, very, you know, realistic. Next week, I do have the honor and privilege of traveling to Eretz Yisrael on behalf of the yeshiva, which is which should be fun. And I do. It's quite daunting, but I happen to like the hustle. So I'm up to. Bezat Hashem Motzei Shabbat. This comes Motzei Shabbat. We're not going to. Rav Dotan went tonight, so we're overlapping for a day or two in Eretz Yisrael. So we're going to be hitting some yeshivas together, Nativ being one of them. I don't remember that. I have to look at the schedule. Anyway, but so I do want to leave you with a Ta'am Tov before we disperse for how long is it? A week or so? A week and a half. Okay. Anyway, and then so a little bit of Dikduk and then a little bit of Musar before we go. Before you leave the Tevat Noach and go back out into the Mehamabul. So, as follows. When it comes to the Dikduk, we've spoken about this many, many times before. The Kaf Chaim brings down that a person should never be overkill in his Dikduk. Meaning, what do I mean by overkill? Don't be midakdik to the extent that people mock you. Okay? Now again, although everybody knows the famous Rama in the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, the first Rama, that says very clearly that a person should not be ashamed of others in his Avodat Hashem. And guess what? You know, this wouldn't be the first time we get mocked in Avodat Hashem. You know, we're Jews. Our whole history is being mocked by everybody else. You know what I'm saying? So we're used to it. We're supposed to have thicker skin. And it's fine. And we have Zechuyot, like the Gemara tells us, all over Shabbat of Pechet, Gitin Daf Lamed Vav, that Hanne Ailavin Veinam Olvin, Shomim Chirpatam Veinam Shevim. Which means that even if people shame you or mock you or whatever, don't answer back. Hashem loves you. Big zechuyot, that we all know. Now, so it's not, you know, there's two different kinds of being mocked with regards to dikduk. Okay? There's when a person's doing what he's supposed to, but it's over the top. There's objective over the top, which and I've heard that before. People overly, you know, gutturalizing the gutturals, you know, the otiot, huh? Yeah, you know. Well, the easiest example of the gronyot is an ayin, and I've heard this before. Just like instead of just make like shema, like an ayin, it sounds like a joke, but there are certain people that were like. Like, it's supposed to be done binachad, derechad derechinoam. It's supposed to flow. It's supposed to be natural. It's not supposed to be, you know, if you feel like you're being tortured as you're doing it, or you sound like it, that's not, you know, the Torah is not that. Like, no, relax, you know, take it easy, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, to Adriel's question, you want to ask the question again so I can address it formally? Oh, yeah.
So my brother is reading a Tinyan Shabbat, and he was doing the thefts, and
that's all he was doing, just the thefts.
Yeah,
that's
the main complaint.
Okay.
So they told him not to read anymore. They told him to stop doing that when he reads, and so I told him perhaps he should play the country unless he's allowed to do it the way he feels great.
Okay, so I want to address that because it is a valid point, and it's not the first time it's coming up. As I'm sure you know, not everybody can handle the truth. You know what I'm saying? The truth is a very powerful thing, and chotamo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu emet, but not everybody can handle it. Everything we've spoken about is very factually, textually based in the words of the poskim. It's no secret that our higui and mivta, our pronunciation, our enunciation is very, very different than that of Achenu Ashkenazim. And it's also not a secret that among the Sfaradim, there are different minhagim. Now, you have to know, in certain places, although what we've spoken about is the emet, some people would consider some of the things that we spoke about, a thou is a good example, as being over the top, or a wow as being over the top, in spite of the fact that we spoke about last week that, what are you talking about? Rav Saadia Gaon, that's not enough. No, Rav Saadia Gaon is good. Toda, you know, we'll do it different. Okay. Rav Saadia Gaon was known as Melech HaMedakdekim. You know that? Yadua. So, among Rav Saadia Gaon, Minchat Shai, Radak, Rav Saadia Gaon, Tukufat Gaonim. Anyway, that being said, not everybody can handle it. It's not everybody's minhag, and we're not out. You have to take this as a lesson for life. When you learn something, I'll give it to you by Mashan. The Chavetz Chaim famously said, I don't know if you've heard about this before, but this is one of the most powerful lines I've heard in my life. Chavetz Chaim once said, he says, when I was a young man, I was very, very ambitious and passionate, and my goal was to change the world. Chavetz Chaim said, and he says, I grew a little older, and I realized that I'm not able to change the world. So he says, you know what? Let me at least focus on my country. I'm going to try to change my country. And he says, I got a little bit older and more mature, and I realized that I can't even change my country. So I said, you know what? Let me focus on my city. And then he says, I got a little older, and I realized I can't change my city either. So he says, you know what? Let me focus on changing my family. And then he says, I grew older, and I realized that I can't even change my family. So I decided to just focus on myself. But by then, it was just too late. I was already too old. The words of the Halakha Chafetz Chaim. Which means, in life, we're not out to change anybody. And the more mature you are, the faster you realize that. And it's not even our jobs. Again, this is not a shalom bayit thing or a marriage or dating, whatever. But even in the closest relationships we enjoy in life, it's not our jobs to change other people. It's not your jobs to change your parents or your wife or your brothers or your sisters or even your children. You're entrusted with the chinuch of your children, but it's not your job to change them. It's your job to try to be mechanich as best you can. The only ones we're entrusted with the job to change are ourselves. That's it. Which means that we're not, if it's not other people's minhag, especially when it comes to things like this, that has to do, you know, halakha, minhagim, different things. Minhagim are very, very touchy subjects, especially among Sfaradim. Whoa! You know, you ever tried, you know, messing with Moroccan minhagim? Whoa! You can like trigger a world war, you know what I'm saying? You take it easy, huh? People, and not, you know, for good reason. Every Aida in Am Yisrael is very protective and possessive of their minhagim. It's what brings them pride. And for good reason, that's what kept us together, throughout this almost 2,000 year galut. So it's very important to realize that. So certain things, it doesn't mean the fact that they can't accept it doesn't make it not true. Now, on the other hand, you have to know the difference. If they're telling you, you have an opportunity to read. And I'm very, very pro Bahurim taking any opportunity that they have. There are halachot about it. Maran Shulchan Aruch speaks about going up to Bishliach Tzibur and stuff like that. Right? We learn that from Talmud Yerushalmi that you should try to respectfully decline the first two times and then go up, whatever. But with all of those halachot being taken into consideration, try as much as you can to, to get as much practice as you can, being shliach tzibur, being koreh b'torah, you know, whatever you can do, because that really hones your skills out there, and it's really an indispensable skill. And I hope, this is all up in the air, but, you know, as we, as the next Zmanim progress and I start being here more often, more full time, I hope to explore many of these chugim with you, Bezat Hashem. Not only Klalei HaDikduk, but Kriya B'Torah, liturgical chazanut, and other things in Piyutim, and all sorts of, you know, for lack of a better term, Sephardic programs, but just in order to bring it out, because, you know, to really release your inner Sephardi, to get it out in order to know, because that's really, if you look at all of the Gdolei Olam, Asfaradim, in the past generation, anyone you can think of, Maran Zichron Lebracha, Agaon Chamin Tzion, Agaon Rabbi Baruch Ben Chaim, you know, the whole Porat Yosef crew, Agaon Rabbi Meir Mazuz, all, you know, anybody that's anybody in the Sephardic Torah world, you know, not to say that Ashkenazim or not, but by them, part of their bread and butter was Kriya B'Torah. They did this for Parnassah when they were younger. Kriya B'Torah, Chazanut, you know, they're all master Chazanim. They're all master Qur'an baturim dakdakim. And they didn't go like, they were, you know, they were raised with it. So unfortunately, a lot of us growing up were not as exposed as Gedolei Yerushalayim were, you know, in the previous generation. But, you know, it's coming back. And it's really a well-rounded Ben Torah, no matter what it is that you go into. And I say this all the time, especially, you know, for us, the Sfaradim. A well-rounded Ben Torah, whether you go into Kli Kodesh, whether you're staying in Torah or going to Chinuch or going to the professional world, whatever it is, to be a well-rounded Ben Torah, you got to have it all. You got to know how to learn. You got to know how to be medakdek. You got to know how to daven. You have to know how to be koreh b'Torah. That's, you have to have all this stuff in your arsenal. That, you know, you can't, you have to be, you have to have this loaded, because, you know, not only for other people to respect you, because, you know, we don't need that to command other people's respect, but even for ourselves, you have to know that when you're called upon, you're ready to go. You understand what I'm saying? So now, back to that question. If they're saying, well, we don't appreciate you doing something. Now, again, Ashkenazim have a much better pitron peh, because, you know, if they call you to be shliach tzibur and you say, listen, I don't read like you, and they can be much more makpid, because they, what happened?
That, one of the shuls here, they made me go up to do Tzukin Zimra. Then after
that,
a guy came up and said, oh, you're
much more Ashkenazi. Okay. Okay, well, listen, you know, we try our best, but over the, I hear why they have a taina, is what I'm saying. By Sfaradim, it's less. Now, I told you a personal story. I'm going to answer your question, you know, very clearly in a moment, but I told you a personal story before, you know, about myself. I served as Chazan, head Chazan for many years in Yechavedat, and this Zichut, Baruch Hashem, under Gan Chaim David. And Chaim David is also a masterful medakdik. He's koreh b'Torah. He reads the Torah ad etzem hayom hazeh faster than me, actually, which is impressive. I had asked him before I took the job. I asked him, because I know his style of dikduk, but I also know that he's Israeli, and because of that. You remember we spoke about in the last year that sometimes as a result of the language that you speak, you know, Israelis have their, you know, rishes and all this stuff. So sometimes that gets in the way. So I asked him before, I said, listen, you know, I know the Rav speaks in his midakdik in a certain way. I have my style of dikduk. He's heard me before. I asked him, do you want me to implement some of the dikdukim and not others? Do you want me to implement them all? Do you not want me to implement them at all? How does the Rav want me to proceed? He says, Ma she'ela? Ma she'ela? Tzach ledakdek ba'akon. I asked him, you know, with a little bit of, you know, a little chutzpah. I said, Aval kvodo, kvodo doesn't do all of these dikdukim. Are you sure you want me to do it? I don't want it to look weird. He says, no. He says, Zeshani elose. He says, I grew up like that, so it's not, you know, I don't have the capability. You remember I told you the story with Rabbi Avraham Yosef? They don't always have the capability, which is fine. But a person who has the capability and he knows the emet, and to kind of squander that capability and then emit, he's doing himself and the tzibur a disservice. So yes, in Yechavedat, I went all out with all the diktukim and the plates and the thaos and the and everything, and they were very appreciative. And but again, that was with the permission and encouragement of Rav Maradatra. Now, if you're being told by the Rav Makom not to do that, now it really depends which diktukim. If he's telling you, listen, we're not so used to th, or we're not so used to w, I understand that. I can understand that, because there's a great many kehilot among the Sfaradim that don't do that. If he's telling you, no, don't do chit anymore, don't do ayin, just do ch for everything, and just do for everything, yeah? And just, you know, just cut letters out of the aleph bet, you know, just drop them. No, why would I? That's not that. That's not, you know, Lashon HaKodesh consists of these letters. What am I going to do? So there's really there has to be a balance before you resign, or before your brother would resign from his post. Huh? Or goes on straight. Again, sometimes there's even a way to reason with these people, meaning you can say, maybe, now again, it's not a busha. Many of these people are not, maybe they're not so baki in dikduk and in kriya and things like that. So maybe you can explain to them. Maybe you can ask him, you ever heard of Saadia Gaon? Betach! He says like this, and Tao, you know, the Ben Ish Chai talks about the Tao. It's like, it's Pashut me'od. But sometimes they're not going to be mekabel. I get it. Believe me, I live in olam hazeh just like you do. I understand that sometimes it just doesn't go. Okay, so you got to pick your battles, just like everything else in life.
No,
he's talking about a Sephardi shul.
No, you're talking
Persian shul?
If you're gonna quote your name or generally recognized as being Sephardi, it's not gonna go so.
With Sephardim? Why not? You're talking about Ashkenazim. His specific question is talking about in a Sephardi place. So
his brothers being a team in Yan, they're gonna make a mockery out of Kibrin Thao and Alan.
Let me explain something to you, okay? For teens who don't know any better to make a mockery, imagine you walk into a place and you know you're doing the right thing. There's misguided people and they start pointing and laughing. Ha! You're gonna brush it off. Why? Because imagine you walk into a preschool. Yeah, you're walking through school. You're in elementary school, and then the nursery. You know, the kids start walking in the hallway and they start laughing. They start doing stuff. How much attention are you gonna pay to that? Because you know they're little kids.
When I was a kid, I was about 16.
Again, so it all depends on the person. I get it. It all depends on the person's strength of conviction. It all depends on. Shlomo HaMelech writes in Mishle, famous pasuk: Emet kene ve'al timkor. In general, in life, business, you know, consists of buying and selling. Shlomo HaMelech says that it's good for other things in life besides for emet. Emet kene ve'al timkor. Buy emet, purchase it, don't sell it for any price. Which means what? Even if they offer you just like the k'tais, or Rav Shmuel Levitz's k'tais, even if you're offered $200,000 for the k'tais, you don't sell it. It's the k'tais. Is it? Huh? Yeah, it can't sell it. It really depends. If he's going to lose an opportunity to mamash hone his skills in Kriyat HaTorah because the thou, I would tell him, halacha ma'aseh, even though it's not a halachic thing, I would tell him, stay. For now, in your own personal tefillah, it gets hard sometimes when you get accustomed to doing the thous and then to kind of backtrack and whatever, so it gets a little difficult. But if he can, don't give up a golden opportunity like that. I consider every opportunity to go up as Shlech Tzibun and to go up as Koreh Baturah or Likrot B'Megillah or whatever, all of those are golden opportunities because those are. It's not only a benefit for the Kal, it's a benefit for the Yachid also. Tremendous. En Sheva. Yeah, what's the shayla? Yeah, Nathan.
So, I was about Korea, still am about Korea for like many years, but okay. I can't physically pronounce some letters. What do I do?
Practice.
I can't. There's, where is Yisrael, right?
Huh? Yisrael?
Yeah, I can't say that.
Why?
I tried Yisrael. Like,
there's no such thing as physically being incapable of doing something, especially pronouncing letters, you know what I'm saying? That's Lehavdin, that's what speech therapy is about. You take children or adults that have speech impediments and you give them therapy and they do all sorts of exercises and then voila, which means you just need the right guidance. So if it means, so again, if you're saying, how do you pronounce it?
Israel.
Okay, so you're using the American R.
Yeah.
Okay. I've heard worse issues.
I read this past week in my show and the Rav kept correcting me on the same word, he's saying Israel.
Oh, you said Israel, meaning Mila'el? As opposed to Israel?
It was Israel, and I said Israel, and he said, you're swallowing the ratio every time you say it, so.
Yeah, say, listen, I'm American, man, y'all say. You know, it's, again, which is not a terutz, but I'm just saying it's important to have that. Now, again, yeah.
I'm saying,
some things are, some things are not. Like the Shulchan Aruch says, a kore le'alfin aynin, ma'avirinoto, right? If a person were chayet chaf, now again, it also depends on your environment. If there's certain places, remember I spoke to you about certain Moroccan cities. My father's city in Morocco was the city of Sefrou. So over there, not only that city, but other cities in northern Morocco, they had, I don't know what it was and I don't know where it came from, but they had a problem pronouncing the letter Sheen. I don't know if you ever heard of that. They had a problem pronouncing Sheen. And they pronounced many sheens as scenes. I don't know where it came from. There's actually a story in the Navi about then Shoftim, about Ephraim. Sibolet Zoan. Yeah, that was the code word. So Do you mean to tell me that all of the, you know, all the Moroccan communities that weren't able to say so, and there were never yotze anything, and there were never shliatze? It also has to do, you have to, you know, halakha is also defined and determined by your surroundings. So if everybody over there is doing the same thing, so what are you supposed to do? It doesn't make it correct necessarily, and doesn't mean, oh, minhag avotai, can you imagine I would start coming in and say, minhag avotai, there's no shins, only sins. No, I understand them, intelligent enough to understand that that was a mistake or that was an impediment that they had, and now we don't have it anymore, and Baruch Hashem, and we move on. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to defend things that are wrong. You defend minhagim that are right. Don't propagate minhagim that are wrong. You know what I'm saying? And that takes a Talmid Chacham to differentiate between, you know, minhagim amitim, true and proper minhagim, versus minhagi ta'ut and minhagi shetut. You know, you need to know. We find throughout Jewish history that poskim have called out many such minhagim to be minhagi shetut. And said, no, minhag. How many times have you heard Maran Zechon Lebracha say, minhag zot yod gehinam? Yeah, minhag has the same letters as gehinam. Some minhagim you keep, ze gehinam. Some minhagim you're mevatel, ze gehinam. See, really, you need the Torah in order to determine these things. But don't. The point is, don't be discouraged by naysayers. There's going to be naysayers in any situation in life. And if you have the emet, lo lefached. Maran Zechon Lebracha, look how benafsho was. True. In Maran Zechon Lebracha's older age, he, I wouldn't say changed, but evolved. Some of his dikdukim evolved in his old age because he was transitioning. I told you there's a historical background there. Transitioning from being, Baghdadi to being more Yerushalmi. We've spoken about that. And there was a transition, and there was a reason why he did it. Okay, fine. But he always understood that the emet, the pronunciation, and it was always very dear to him. And you,
huh? It was a conscious decision?
Yeah. Yeah, there was a stage in his life where he wanted to consciously veer away from Baghdadi minhagim and more, you know, take on more Yerushalmi, or we'll call it global Sephardi minhagim, because once again, that was his life's mission. If you remember, what was Maran Zechon Lebracha's slogan? Le'achzir ha'atara li'yoshna, atara shel Maran ha'shulchan aruch. So he wanted to make it more of a Sephardic melting pot under the banner of Maran, but that's a different discussion for a different time. Atashoy.
You're saying that there's benefits to being Chazan in Baal Korah?
Sure.
What's benefit? I mean, it's not benefit, but what?
You tell me.
No, I don't know.
I'm not talking about Kavod at all, because that's not a benefit.
So you're saying as a Ben Torah, there's benefits, but are the benefits as a Ben Torah too?
The benefits are that you become more acquainted with, forget about Torah, Nevi'im, Chtuvim, but let's focus now just on Torah.
As a Chazan.
You build up your confidence in pronouncing the words. You force yourself to think in a communal way. You have to constantly force yourself to think that you're being motzi people yedei chovah. You have to, you know, working for a kahal is tough, but it's important also. People are born, we are all born selfish. We're selfish beings, that's how we're born. And Avodat HaMidot dictates that we're supposed to evolve from being selfish beings to being selfless beings. And the more Avodat HaTzibur, the more you give back to the Tzibur, the more you get that selflessness. So you get the confidence, you get the Kri'ah, you get, if you make mistakes, know that you're going to be corrected, know that somebody's going to be pointed out, which means you grow thicker skin a little bit. That's if people, you know, get on your case, you learn how to compose yourself. Somebody says, oh, it screams at you, and you made a mistake, or too fast, or too slow. You learn to live in the real world where people are going to criticize you all the time. All the time. These are all fringe benefits. And the real benefits is, you know,
what do you do? Let's say
it's not
about Chazan. I always hear him, go faster, go slower, go faster, go slower.
Read what the Pilayitz writes about Shliach Tzibur. He writes, he says something very funny. He says, you smile at the people, say, yeah, but, you know, don't fight back. Natural inclination is, give the guy his kavod, and then what, smile and nod, and then just do, you have to take the shvila zahav, do what's, you know, the normal speed. You're always going to get it's too fast. You're always going to get it's too slow. Too high, too low, too hot, too cold. Always, no matter what. I didn't touch the air conditioner. Your fault. That's part of life. You know what I'm saying? But it's good. You get thick skin. Life requires thick skin. Judaism requires thick skin. You're going out to Bein HaZmanim now. You better have thick skin. You're in the confines of a wonderful environment in yeshiva, yeshiva kedoshah, and you're immersed in Torah almost all day long. And you go out now to the real world, real, quote unquote, and you're exposed to things that are really bar minan. So you have to know, you have to have thick skin and be able, you know what Teflon is? Teflon. You got to have a Teflon coat. Let things just slide. It doesn't bother you. Don't absorb it. Certainly, you're going back, I wanted to tell you, in his Igarot, the Chazon Ish, Gaon Chazon Ish said, we know that 30 Yom Kodem HaChag, 30 days before any Yom Tov, Shoalin V'Dorshin B'Inyano Shel Chag. Nachon? It says it specifically about Pesach. Where would I find that Gemara? Daf. Yefe. Now, so the... Huh? Vav, the Vav. Yeah? So, the Chazon Ish says, every time you go home, you also have to, 30 days before you go home for a Bein HaZmanim, you have to review Hilchot Kibud Avayim, Mitchila V'ad Sof. Just like you have to review all the dinim of the Mo'adim before you go home, 30 Yom Kodem HaChag. You have a Chag Shel Kibud Avayim. Some people don't have the Zechut to be able to do it Be'atzmam, every single day. Now you're going for Bein HaZmanim, you have an opportunity. Opportunity for Kibud Avayim. Opportunity for Kiddush Hashem, Kadesh Shem Shamayim. To walk around like a Ben Torah. Tefillah B'tzibur. Limud B'hatmada. Walking and acting, behaving, obviously no chashad whatsoever that you would do anything other than that. But to mamash embody Kvod HaTorah wherever you go. You have such an opportunity. There's Avodat Hashem within Kotelei Beit HaMidrash, and then there's Avodat Hashem outside the Tevat Noach, in what we call the real world. You're going out there and you're taking on a lot of, you know, I don't have to tell you, there's a lot of filth out there. Rabotai, use this opportunity to make anywhere you go. What's our job in life? Lekadesh Shem Shamayim Barabim. Zeo. In anything we do. Bechol derachecha da'ehu. V'hui yasher orchotecha. Shlomo HaMelech says, know HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all of your ways. Not only in Bet HaMidrash, not only in Bet HaKnesset, not only Babayit. Mibayit u'michutz tetzapenu. You have to be well-rounded, inside, outside, wherever you go. Rabotai, tenchu ve'asu chayin. I don't know if you're all finished, but whatever it is, if you didn't finish your exams, v'ezat Hashem it should be. Ba'atzlacha merubah. V'chol asher tifnu, teskilu v'tetzlichu v'ezat Hashem. Teskilu shem rabot na'imot v'tovot. And when you come back v'ezat Hashem, nu, second half of the zman, and renewed kochot, and refreshed, and ready to go, and mamash enjoying the privilege of being ovedet HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'emet uv'tamim. Laila tov.
Maybe was mentioning before about the dot right over here, like for example, Hamesurim Yadecha.
Yeah.
How come we don't have that for Ha'avodah? Like,
because Ayin doesn't usually get the Gishim. Aleph, He, Chet, and usually Aleph, He, Chet, and Vav don't get the Gishim after He, Diyah.
Understood?
Huh? Because
they're not.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
It's very hard. There are exceptions, but it's very hard to make Otiyot Groniot with a Dagish. There's many Klalei Dikduk that were changed because it's hard on the tongue.
All right. Secondly,
yeah.
In Perek Hei of Parashat Shemot, it brings down, Rabbi already knows the rule, how a segol gets turned
into... You gotta be careful, this is my parasha. Right. Shemot is my parasha.
The segol gets turned to a...
Oh, that's right. Good.
So a segol gets turned to a kamatz at the end of the pasuk, right? Okay. So, for example... For example, shaka instead of sheka. Mm-hmm. But for pasuk yur and onwards, it says tevin, it's a tavin.
It's an exception.
It's an exception, that word explicitly?
Exception.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Well, they're done.
Ashrecha.
You're done?
Yeah. No, it's good. I was actually just very thirsty.